Welcome to the Harvest Time Podcast, where our mission is the commission to make disciples. Join us as we delve into candid discussions, share inspiring stories, and take practical steps in growing together as dynamic ambassadors for the gospel. Get ready to embrace your purpose as a laborer in God's harvest field. I'm your producer, David, and here are your hosts, Katie and Caitlin.
Hey guys, welcome back to episode 8 of the Harvest Time podcast. We are so excited to talk about how praise is just as powerful as prayer today. We just felt like this was a good way to conclude our prayer series and kind of lead to the next one. So Katie's really just going to lead us in why is praise so important?
Yeah, I feel like the passage that really came to mind in just this idea is Psalm 22:3, where it says that God is enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. Just this whole idea that God inhabits the praise of his people and dwells among the praise of his people. We talk a lot about the power of prayer and how prayer moves the needle and how prayer impacts our lives, and it makes things happen, and it influences the, I think how Caitlin said it, influences the way that God's will is accomplished in a lot of cases. And it's just a really powerful, beautiful thing. And so we're really good, you know, we can become really good at praying and asking for things and repenting of things and all of this. And yet I think there's this huge category in our relation with the Lord that we're missing, and it's praise. One thing that I love is when I meet a faithful prayer warrior, they often have a notebook where they've written every single thing that they've ever prayed for, and then they'll go back as God answers, and they will keep track of everything that God's answered. And sometimes it's years. You know, I had a friend who was praying for reconciliation in a relationship for 7 years, and out of the blue got a call from that person and was able to reconcile. Wow. I don't know about you. I've never been that faithful in praying for something and waiting for God to answer. And so there is this element of patience that comes in prayer, and recognizing that God's timing is not ours, and that his ways are higher, and that he knows what's best. But even in that waiting period, even in, you know, my friend's 7 years of faithful prayer, she was able to praise. She was able to be thankful and be able to see God's hand in so many ways. And so I just wanted to share a little bit throughout the day, and Caitlin will interject as she feels led to, just some of the ways that we see the power of praise. And the first is praise gets the focus off of us and onto God, the one who's worthy of it. And so, you know, the Psalms are full of examples of this, but Psalm 150 verse 2, praise him for his mighty deeds, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Psalm 35:28, my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. In Psalm 95, let us make a joyful noise to him. David was very good at ascribing praise. And in the midst of all manner of trials and difficulties, but he still ascribed praise to the one who is worthy, even in the same breath of saying, Lord, do you hear me? Lord, do you see me? Yet I will praise you. We see that word yet or but as a transition conjunction a lot in the Psalms, because in the midst of the hard things, in the midst of unanswered prayer, there's still worth to be ascribed to God.
That's so good. Yeah, I'm just going to make a comment real quick on that. So I love that because, yeah, David, I think, seemed to have this revelation from this position of prayer, this posture of prayer, of God's worthiness despite any circumstance. It was like he was able to separate his current reality from the truest reality and contextualize his reality in the truer reality and say, okay, this is not what I'm experiencing right now, but I know this is what's true. And so I'm going to choose to align myself with that. And it caused him to to praise. And so I think it's cool that prayer catalyzes praise mm-hmm. sort of naturally.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, one of the other ways that we see the power of praise, praise is a weapon for spiritual warfare. You know, we see all throughout scripture in various ways that the enemy flees as a result of prayer. And I'm trying to remember the reference that I had here. Just even in like Second Chronicles, you know, don't be afraid or discouraged. The battle is not yours. It's God's.
Yeah, there's one in Psalm 8 that I love. And in the NIV, it says, through the praise of the children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. And I'm like, how cool is mm-hmm. it? Like, as children, even like little babies, if we're praising right. God's name, it silences the enemy completely. It's like, whoa, that's wild.
Right. Yeah, so praise gets our focus off of ourselves and back onto God. Praise makes the enemy flee. But I think the one thing that I just really loved and kind of want to focus on this is that praise paves the way for God's power to be displayed and for miracles to happen.
Wow.
And so the story that came to mind with that is in Acts 16, when Paul and Silas are in prison. So verse 25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains became loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So there's two miracles happening here, right? The earthquake that shakes the foundations of the prison and opens the doors. But then this Philippian jailer asking, "What must I do to be saved?" And in that day, he and his household believed in the Lord Jesus. As a result of Paul and Silas praying and singing hymns to God, not quietly in their own little group, but within earshot of others. That's I just so think that's good. Awesome. So powerful.
It is so good, man. And what's crazy is like when they had the initial breakthrough, they didn't just run away. They right. like stayed to get the fullness.
Right.
That's so good.
Right. And so, you know, when we're thinking about our prayer lives and our intimacy with the Lord, and I even think that phrase prayer lives is interesting. Maybe it should be more of lives of prayer or patterns of prayer or just the habits of praying. We want it to be so integrated that we can't separate the idea of our existence from prayer.
Amen.
But I try so hard, regardless of what I'm approaching the throne with, whether it is confession or making a request or interceding or what have you, I always try to start with gratitude. Even if it's something as simple as like, God, thank you for the day, or you know, my husband often prays, you know, thank you for the breath in our lungs. And he'll even take a deep breath as kind of a selah or a pause in that to just really appreciate the breath. And, you know, I think it becomes so trite when we pray sometimes to just say, dear Jesus, thank you for this day, blah, 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 right? But what if we stopped making praise so trite? I just think we'll see mountains move. I really think we'll see mountains move. Because it's not just about asking God to move the mountain, but like thanking him for it. Expecting that he's going to do it.
Yes.
Praising him just for the sheer fact that he's able to move the mountain, even though he may not have done it yet. Yeah. And that's a big part of how I've prayed this year. Is God, I know you can, I know you're able, and I'm not even sure you will, but thank you that you're a God that I can even ask to move a mountain. And that's enough on its own.
That's so good. It reminds me of Mark 11, 23 and 24. And well, really starting in verse 22, Jesus says, "Have faith in God. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them."
Yeah. So, Caitlin, kind of my question, throwing it to you for a second. In the context of our primary audience, which is, you know, future missionaries, people that are praying and supporting active mission and ministry around the world, students, where does this land in that context? Why is this important?
Yeah, no, that's so good. You know, I was just sitting here thinking about how, and I've never thought about this before, but I can ask a lot of people questions. You know, I can ask Katie a question, I can ask God a question, I could ask my parents a question, I could ask my friends, my pastor, I could ask Google a question, and I could ask it to do something for me, right? And I don't sit around or dance around or whatever, and I don't praise Katie. You know, I don't praise my parents. I don't worship my pastor. Like, I worship God. And so I think praise, and especially like this Thanksgiving aspect before you see the breakthrough, really shows like where our trust in lies. You know, I think there's a lot of power in, you know, there's been times where people have come up at church and they're like, "Can you pray for healing of this cancer?" And I'm like praying, you know. And then I'm thanking God for the healing that he's going to do, because the reality is, even if he doesn't heal it in this world, like, it's going to be healed in the next. So it's guaranteed. I can go ahead and praise him. But really, I think that, you know, whether you're going to potentially be a missionary, or you're sending or mobilizing or giving or praying or whatever your role is within the Great Commission, that the will of God for us, as Paul outlines in 1 Thessalonians, is rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so I think that where does all of this land is like, well, if we really trust God and his will, like, this is going to be our response, because he actually is just like, my will is that you'll lean into me, that you'll worship me, that you'll praise me no matter what is happening. And I think that's that way that he's enthroned on our praises, like Kitty was mentioning at the beginning. And so, you know, he wants us to be worshipers, like we're the royal priesthood, the holy nation, and the sacrifice he desires is praise.
Right, and isn't that the picture at the end of the book where every tongue, tribe, and nation is around the throne worshiping and praising and ascribing worth, saying, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb."
Yeah, come on. And if we can see that happen now. Like, we don't have to wait for the Revelation 7 moment. We can let the earth mirror what it's going to be like, you know, when heaven comes down, and it's going to create this spot for intimacy where he can really be with us in the very end.
And that's why there's this beauty in being sojourners. You know, our hearts ache for our home to come. But I think part of the beauty of this in-between space is that we have one foot in the kingdom of heaven and one foot in his kingdom come. It's that already not yet tension that we're feeling, where we have all if we've been in church or part of worship or just part of a community of believers of any kind, we have already had a taste of what that Revelation 7 moment is going to look like, and that Isaiah 6 picture. You know, we've already had tastes of that, but there is fullness coming. There is more coming. And so when we approach the throne with praise and thanksgiving and ascribing worth to him, we are also giving God a taste of that.
Wow.
It's just beautiful. You know, we get to be a part of that. We get to have our feet in these two separate places that are ultimately merging and rapidly merging into this ultimate just worship of Jesus, which is awesome.
Wow. Like God has never experienced that before. He's prophesied it, he's bringing it together, but he's never experienced that before. Wow.
And even still, even though he is still fully complete within himself, he just is so worth every single person that we can bring with us, every single soul and every single piece of praise that we can bring with us when he either takes us home or he comes back for us.
Amen.
And that's almost beautiful in and of itself, is that we're not only ascribing worth and praise to the person and the God who's worthy of it, but it's also to a God that is entirely complete and worthy within himself.
Wow.
But I
Man.
mean, yeah, that's just what's on that was on our hearts this week. Wanted to cap off our series of prayer by unpacking praise and just exhorting all of us to not just enter the throne with requests and needs and prayer, but to enter the throne with worship and praise and thanksgiving and rejoicing always, because he's worthy.
He's so worthy. That's really all we could have said, you know?
Yeah.
He's so worthy. And so, whatever praise looks like to you, I just encourage you to take time every day this week to really praise the Lord and make a joyful noise. If you're like me, you might not have a good singing voice, but you can still sing at the top of your lungs. Or you can be silent. Sometimes that's praise too.
Yeah.
But just give him what he's worth this week, you know? And if you're like really struggling to recognize his worthiness, hey, like there's no shame. Just ask him to reveal his worthiness again, and he will. I guarantee you he will. It's
Yeah.
his favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
So thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll be excited to do some exciting things with Gen Z next week. So stay tuned.